We want to start with verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Just a few verses that we'll use for our text here this evening. Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verses 29 to 31. So Ephesians 4 and verse 29. The Bible says there, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." I want to speak to you from those verses, particularly one particular phrase where we're told to, as it says in verse 31, put away evil speaking from us. That word evil speaking is the Greek word blasphemia. I believe that's how that would be pronounced. And as you can imagine, when you look up every time that Greek word is used, let me make sure that this is on. Here we go. Every time that Greek word is used, most of the times that it's used in the New Testament, it is used as blasphemies. When you read about Jesus being accused of blaspheming, it was that word there, the blasphemia. But here in Ephesians 4:31, it is used in the context of evil speaking. We're to put these things away from us, specifically evil speaking. And tonight, I want to share with you some thoughts that I have about evil speaking or blaspheming. And I'm not talking about talking bad about God, although we'll reference that. But I'm just talking about what we do with our tongue and whether or not our tongue is used to edify, which is what it's supposed to be able to do, right? We're to use our tongue to build people up. Or whether we use it to tear people down and to speak evil. That is a big deal, what we do with our tongue. We look at the world around us, I'm imagining anyway, that you're like I am, and we see, boy, are things getting strange in our world. It just seems like things are very much falling apart in our world today. And I can't help but think to myself that some of what God is angry about in this world has to do with us as Christians. We can't look at the world and say, well, God's angry because of what they're doing. Now, that's true. But remember that God says judgment begins at His house. And we would be doing ourselves, and more importantly, the work of God, a disfavor if we would just look at the world and say, well, God's angry because of what they're doing. I want to suggest to you that God also has some issues with us as Christians. And so I don't say this because this is something I've seen and boy, the people here need to be straightened out and I'm going to fleece the sheep tonight, you know, nothing like that. But I am going to say we as Christians ought to take a good look at our own lives and say, okay, if God's angry at this world and if God's bringing judgment on this world, and He is, and if God's bringing judgment on our nation, and by the way, He is, just look at what's going on. This is judgment on our nation. Then there's a good chance that God wants us as Christians to wake up and realize, okay, I'd better make sure that my house is clean. Because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I want, when He comes, I want to be able to stand before Him unashamed. Just look at what went on here in Washington, D.C. in this last week, where a bunch of people, whoever they were, stormed the Capitol. I saw a video of someone inside the Capitol, not the rotunda, but in one of the houses of Congress. I don't know if it was, I think it was the Senate chamber. I don't think it was the House of Representatives area. I think it was the Senate chamber. And they were walking around on the floor after that whole, you know, push the guards over kind of thing and get in there. And they had a Christian flag draped around them.
That's a problem. That is a problem. Now, you know, whoever they were and whether or not they really were that, I don't know. I really don't. But I'm saying we as Christians ought to look at our own lives and say, okay, Lord, it's very obvious that judgment is on its way. Lord, I want to clean up my life. I want to be ready for your coming. And so this is an area where we need to be serious about. This is an area where we can really clean up our lives, okay? Because I'm assuming nobody here is, you know, pro-abortion, pro-murder, pro, you know, stealing and all those kind of things. Those are the obvious sins, right, that we can pick at the world about and say, oh yeah, they shouldn't do that. But here's an area that we could. I've titled the message, Could Judgment Fall Because of My Tongue? Could judgment fall because of my tongue? And I think the answer obviously is yes, it could. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I thank you again, as always, for the opportunity to preach to your people. Lord, to be able to stand behind this pulpit, to open your word, and to declare, thus saith the Lord, is an honor and a privilege. But Lord, even as I mentioned, judgment does begin in your house. And I know that, Lord, as the pastor, as the one that's standing behind the pulpit and preaching your word, Lord, that I'm really the first that should be and will be judged. And even as we read for the scripture reading, Lord, you said that I would be judged more severely than others because I stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And Father, I just confess to you that I don't always do everything I should. I don't always even do my best. But at the same time, Lord, I know that I just humbly come before you and recognize, Lord, that if you judge me according to your word, I fall short every single time. And Lord, I need mercy. But I also know, Lord, that I want to do right by you in this message. I want to be able to stand before you someday unashamed for this few moments of time here that I want to share your word with your people. So Lord, please enable me tonight to be able to preach in such a way that when I stand before you, I can be unashamed of this time. Give me wisdom, give me grace, guide me and direct me. Let me have your wisdom for your sake, your honor and glory. And then Lord, give us all ears to hear. Help us not just to think about somebody else and their problems and how they ought to hear this message. Help us, Lord, to clean house in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We as Christians need to be careful that we repent of our sins, our Christian sins. And Christian sins, obviously, is a misnomer, and yet I put it in quotations in my notes, as in these are the things that many times we think are okay, all right? And we need to be careful that we repent of those things and get them right, because I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And it really is important what you and I do and how we live. You will want to make sure that your life is clean, because when you stand before the Lord, you will give an account for everything you do. So take some time and examine your own life and allow the Holy Spirit to examine your life and do business with God and clean up your house, because He is coming. Let's look at the next chapter of Ephesians 5. Let's just look at a couple of verses. Let me show you this. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And we could go on and read that chapter, but can I encourage you to just, let's sum up what the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is trying to tell us in Ephesians chapter 5. He's trying to tell us that, listen, God is going to judge the world for all of its wickedness. And don't let anybody deceive you. The wrath of God is going to fall on this world for its wickedness. So don't have part with any of that. Rather than that, walk in love. Rather than that, be followers of God. Rather than that, allow the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in your life. Walk in the Spirit. Now, part of that whole scripture that we read there was foolish talking or jesting. We need to be careful with that. Let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 12. Turn with me there. We'll very, very soon get to the main part of the message. This is introduction, Matthew chapter number 12. And I'll try not to tarry long here tonight, but I want to remind you of these things. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Remember what Jesus said here. This is an important scripture. Obviously, it's all important. But what I mean by that is this is one that ought to ring in your ears on a consistent basis. This is one, by the way, that you ought to remind your children of on a consistent basis. They need to be reminded of this. This is just a bedrock truth in how we should live our lives. Matthew 12 and verse 36, "But I say unto you," Jesus is speaking here, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. By the way, the context is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which is interesting because that's that word, blasphemia, that Greek word, blasphemia. It's speaking evil of the work of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, I just want to remind you, in that context, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, I would trust that none of us would blaspheme against the Holy Ghost because we're all saved, and I think once you're saved, that's behind you. But at the same time, you and I ought to be able to look at that and say, well, there's probably something I can learn from that, and I'd better be careful because every single idle word that I speak, I'm going to give an account before the Lord Jesus. I better make sure that my tongue is right. Listen, be careful before you open your mouth. Pay very close attention. Now, let's get to my three main points. And here's how I would introduce these three main points in the message this evening. It would be this. How is it that we as Christians fall into this trap of evil speaking or of blasphemia, as the Greek word is? How do we fall into it? And there's three ways that I believe commonly we fall into this trap. And the number one way is we speak evil of one another. And let me remind you again, Ephesians chapter 4 says that we are not to speak evil. We're to put away evil speakings, as it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Well, we have a tendency to fail in this area because we speak evil one of another. That is a common Christian practice. And friends, it ought not to be. We're all guilty from time to time, but it ought not to be. And in these days that we're living in, where with the pandemic going on, things have changed, and a lot of people are doing things one way, and a lot of people are doing things another way, and there's every opinion under the sun about everything regarding COVID right here in this room. And if we wanted to, we could probably start some really good fights. But we don't want to. If we just started giving opinions on masks or vaccines or whether or not the whole thing is even real or the death rate or the hospitalization rate, or boy, we could start all kinds of arguments, couldn't we? Because there's all kinds of opinion. And it's an opportunity then for us to speak evil one of another. Because what we tend to do is we tend to gravitate to people who think like us, and we talk bad about people who don't think like us, or this person, I can't believe that they think that, or I can't believe that they do it that way. I can't believe that that person actually does that. Be careful. Let evil speaking be put away from you. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians. You want to keep your place in Ephesians 4, but Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse number 5, let's remember, this is God's word. Colossians 3 and verse 5, "Mortify therefore," in other words, put it to death, "mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And here's what our members are known for, right? fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, notice, blasphemy. By the way, that is that same Greek word that in Ephesians 4 was translated evil speakings. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Boy, the context is so clear there, isn't it? That because we're saved now, we ought to put off all of these wicked things, and that includes speaking evil of others, and rather we ought to put on these other things, which are bowels of mercies. How about this? Listen, kindness. In these times that we're in, let's be kind to one another. Let's recognize, listen, everybody's having a hard time with this. I'll be honest with you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get sympathy from anybody, because I know you struggle like I struggle. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I have it harder than everybody else. That's hogwash. That's a lie. It's just not true. But I'll be honest with you. I'll open up my heart to you and say, this has been a difficult time for me. There have been more days than I can count that have been dark days. Not depression or anything like that, but just dark days. Where I've had to get in God's Word and get encouraged. You know what I've appreciated more and more in these days is just when people are kind. You know, this world is looking for Christians just to be kind. Can I encourage you with your fellow Christians? The person that's either here in the auditorium or maybe not in the auditorium, they may not think like you, they may not treat this whole thing like you do, but be kind to them. That's what God expects. That's what God wants. And we go on and on. It talks about forgiveness. And I honestly, not from our church, I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about from Christians in general, I've been shocked at how much Christians don't forgive. It blows my mind. I think to myself, you're kidding me. You're holding a grudge against that person? For what? And again, I'm not talking about people in our church. I'm talking about Christians that I've seen just out and about in my dealings with other independent Baptists. And I know that this one has a grudge against that one, and this one's upset about this. And I think to myself, you're kidding me. That's not Christian. No wonder God is angry. That's why with some of these things, and some of you, I've had conversations with you about it, and I think to myself, listen, the answer to what went on and whatever you believe about the election in November, don't get me started. Whatever you believe about the election in November, the answer to whatever the problems are is not 100,000 people in Washington at a rally. That's not the answer. And I'm not saying people shouldn't speak up, but I'm saying that's not the answer. The answer is this. We need to repent of our sin. Amen. We need to start forgiving people. Amen. And I would like to hear somebody who is a Christian who has some influence in this world to send out a mass email, and instead of just saying, let's have a day of prayer, although that's not a bad thing, but how about say, listen, Christians, are you clean? Are you right? Have you forgiven that person who's done you wrong? Are you kind to other people? Because I think that that's probably what God's upset about. I don't think God cares about Nancy Pelosi and what she does. I don't think that makes God angry at all. I think God is angry when people in churches like ours won't forgive. That will cause God's judgment to fall on this world. Because Nancy Pelosi is going to do what Nancy Pelosi is going to do. And by the way, she's where she is because America deserves her. And Chuck Schumer, the same. Ouch. And we're part of that, by the way. We ought to remember that evil speaking of one another is something that we as Christians have a tendency to do. We need to be careful of that. Remember that when you are speaking about another Christian, you're speaking about God's work and you're speaking about God's servant. Remember what Romans 14 says? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Are you really going to stand in judgment of God's servant and say, hey, God, you sit down and be quiet for a while. Let me judge your servant. That's not a wise thing to do. Let's be careful that we don't speak evil one of another. If you're going to use your tongue, and we don't have the time to look at it, but I would just encourage you, read through Colossians 3 there where we read. You know what you'll find? It doesn't say we can't ever say something difficult. But the idea is, listen, if you have a beef with your brother or your sister, go to them. Reprove them in kindness and love, but face them like a man and deal with it. By the way, there's not much of that going on in Christianity these days. There's a lot of Facebook talk and outing this person on Facebook or that person in this post or this media thing. And by the way, that makes me sick to see that kind of stuff. Because that is not Christian. That's no more Christian than this glass of water right here. If you have a problem with someone, speak to them. If they've done something illegal, go to the authorities and then shut your mouth. Stop dragging it all through everybody's information so that people have nothing to do with it, know about it. That's wrong. And God's angry at that kind of stuff. But Christians do it. And God's going to judge America and American Christians if we don't repent and turn from our sin and start recognizing, listen, we dare not speak evil one of another. Now, there's another way in which we speak evil or we struggle with this, and that is speaking evil of authorities. Turn with me, if you would, to Jude, the book of Jude, right before Revelation, the book of Jude. Let's be careful that we do not speak evil of people in authority. We have a tendency to speak evil one of another, and we speak evil of authorities, people that are put in places of authority. Notice Jude, there's only one chapter, so the first 16 verses. And boy, I tell you what, I guess I'm not going to read all 16 verses. When I write down my notes, when I put my notes together, I have all this optimism that I'm going to have all this time. And I've yet to learn, all right? But let's look at verse 5, Jude verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the hand of land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. The word despise doesn't mean to hate, it means to look down on, to not think of it as important, okay? So they despise dominion. Notice this, and speak evil of dignities. I'll give you three guesses what the Greek word behind the two words in English, speak evil. It's that blasphemia. What we learn in Ephesians 4:31, we're to put off. Don't speak evil. Okay? These people in Jude, that are people who have, they're unbelievers that infiltrated the church. Here's one of the marks of them. Listen, here's one of the marks of them. They speak evil of dignities. People that God has allowed to have some authority, people that God has allowed to be put in a position of higher up, they speak evil of them. They blaspheme them. In the church. You know, I've seen some of that go on in Baptist churches. I've probably even participated in some of that. God says it's wrong. Let's read on the next verse. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And I would encourage you to read the rest of it. The Bible's very clear that God demands of us that we not speak evil, even of dignities. And the example given is Michael the archangel, when he was dealing with the devil about the body of Moses, even against the devil, he wouldn't bring a railing accusation. And why is that? I'm going to interject my own opinion here. Please accept it as such. But I believe it's because Michael the archangel understood, you know, his situation where he's going to work with Satan on the body of Moses. He's obviously going to contend with him. But he also recognizes that God had given Satan a position of power. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And he's not going to speak evil of the devil, not going to bring a railing accusation against him. It's not to say he wouldn't speak the truth, but there's a difference between speaking the truth and a railing accusation. Now listen, we have some people that we're pretty sure that are in places of authority that we're pretty sure they're aligned with the devil. And when you get into the higher ups of government in the United States, I would say Satan has to be involved in a lot of that because we're the greatest, most powerful nation on the earth. Satan has to be very interested in what goes on in this nation. So are there people in our national scene that are directly linked with Satan himself? I'm sure there are. Does that mean we have the right to bring a railing accusation against them? Absolutely not. I'm not saying we don't speak the truth, and we can call sin, sin. And when things are satanic, we can say so. But there's a line we don't want to cross. Don't speak evil of somebody who's doing wrong. Speak the truth, lay it out there, but don't cross that line. God will get angry about that. May I remind you of 1 Samuel 24, we won't turn there again just for time's sake, and I apologize for that. But 1 Samuel 24, David is anointed to be king. Saul is still on the throne. David has an opportunity in a cave to kill Saul, and his men encourage him to do so. I probably would have, and so would you. But David was smart enough and humble enough to recognize, I'm going to let God deal with that person. And when David cut off part of his skirt, you know, the outer part of his garment, just cut off part of it just to prove that he could have killed him. The Bible says that David's heart smote him just for doing that. Now, wait a minute. Our heart should smite us if we begin to speak evil of people who are in places of authority. Don't do that. Again, it's not to say that you can never speak the truth. I would encourage you to speak the truth. And when someone does something or calls for something that's wicked, speak up and say, that is wickedness. God does not expect you to be silent and never speak the truth. But don't cross that line, friends, or God will get angry. Because again, who is in a place of authority that God did not put there? Nobody. That's even the United States. That's even in our county and even in our city. And by the way, this is one that I'm probably more guilty than most here. And my heart smites me even as I tell you about it, but it's still the truth. We better be careful what we do. Let me give you one other area where we have a tendency to speak evil, not only just of one another and of authorities, but sometimes we speak evil of God Himself. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And it's possible, if we're not careful, that God would be angry with us because we speak evil of Him. Sometimes we speak evil of one another. Be careful not to do that, especially in these days. Sometimes we speak evil of authorities. Be careful not to do that. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, we see that if we're not careful, we can speak evil of God. Verse 9 says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." Now notice verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." And then, of course, verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." By the way, never let anybody tell you that we shouldn't go to Old Testament passages of Scripture and say, what can I learn from that? How can I make an application to my life? Because 1 Corinthians tells us very clearly that's why it's given to us. So that we can look at them and say, I don't want to follow their example in that area, or I do want to follow their example in that area. But in this area, we don't want to follow their example. What did they do? They murmured. And here's what murmuring is. If you can think of murmuring as, you ever hear somebody talk about, they were in the middle of a wooded area somewhere, and they heard a brook murmuring in the distance. What does that mean? It means they heard the sound of the water and the low, soft sound of water in the distance, with a kind of an indistinct sound, but it's there. That's murmuring. And that's what the people did. As Moses would lead them and as God would lead Moses, Moses could hear the people murmuring against him. He didn't hear exactly what they said, but they were in the distance, this person talking with that person, and just this real low, indistinguishable sound, and they were complaining to one another in soft voices that Moses couldn't hear, and that's murmuring. And sometimes we do that. We don't directly say that God is evil for what He's done, but we complain. We complain to this person about this is going on in my life and that's happening and I'm dealing with this issue and I'm dealing with that issue. And rather than being joyful about things, we murmur. And friends, when we do that, we're speaking evil of God. Be careful not to speak evil of God. Everything that comes into your life, listen, God works it for good. I'm as guilty as you are in this regard. Think about this. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us on December 31st of 2020, we said, boy, am I glad this year is over. And I'll admit to you, I did. But you know what? I was really wrong to say that. Because the year that God gave to us this last year, I didn't like a lot of the things that went on. But can I tell you that it was the year that God gave us for a reason? And I'm to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, Paul said, rejoice. I'm to thank God that He worked all these things out together for my good and for your good as well. We needed this last year. I should be coming to the end of the year and saying, Lord, thank you for this year. And when I murmur about it, when I say, boy, that was a bad year, by the way, when I say that was a bad year, that's a lie, isn't it? It was not a bad year, no matter what happened. I lost my mom this last year. It doesn't make it a bad year. God brought that into my life. God brought us to this place. And He did so for a reason. And we need to give thanks in everything, not murmuring. And then sometimes we speak evil of God because we speak without hope. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture and we'll close. Psalm 78. We speak without hope. And Christian, we should never speak without hope. Psalm 78 and verse 40. We should never speak without hope. And here's what I mean by speaking without hope. It's similar to murmuring, but it's the idea of speaking as if there's nothing good that will come of this. you know, woe is me, there's nothing now that good that will happen, etc., etc. Friends, we ought to be the people that when somebody asks us how things are going, or when somebody asks us how our life is, that we can, not dishonestly, but that we can honestly say, I have a lot to look forward to. There's a lot of good going on in my life. I may not enjoy everything. It might be painful. But I've got so much hope in my life. Look at Psalm 78 and verse 40. The Bible says there, how oft did they, speaking to the children of Israel, provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Well, how did they grieve him? Verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and notice this last phrase, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they do that? Well, they basically said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can God really take this wilderness that we're in and make it a good thing? Can He really supply for us here? And they weren't saying it in a good way, like, boy, I can't wait to see God do it. They doubted Him. They limited Him. They spoke in such a way that as if they had no hope. And friends, we're in the middle of a wilderness, figuratively speaking right now, and it's easy for us to do the same thing. And that ought not to be. Friends, we ought not limit God. We ought to speak with hope and know that I don't know how, but God is going to turn this for my blessing. That means no matter what situation you are in, God is going to turn it for your good. But you've got to trust God with that. So friends, let's be careful that we don't bring judgment down upon America through our tongues. Let's make sure that we follow the command of Ephesians 4, where we put away evil speaking, that blasphemia. Let's put that all away. Let's not speak evil one of another. If you have something against a Christian, go talk to him about it. Speak to him about it. Face to face, or at least over the phone. Be honest with them. Be kind. Be gentle. But speak to them about it. Don't speak evil of them. Let's not speak evil of those that God has allowed to be in positions of influence and authority. Speak the truth. And again, if you have something against them, let them know. If they're doing something wrong, let them know. Kindly and gently, but speak the truth. But don't speak evil of them. And then thirdly, and most importantly, don't speak evil of God. Make sure that you remember that everything that God does, He does for a reason, for a purpose, and for your good. And speak such. Let God hear that praise, that thanksgiving come out of your mouth and my mouth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we don't want to be guilty of evil speaking in any of these ways or any other way. So Lord, would you please help us? Would you even reveal to us any of these areas or other areas, Lord, where we are guilty? Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on our nation. We thank you for the nation that you've given us, the freedom that we've enjoyed, the liberty that we've had. Lord, we thank you for the liberty that we still have. Lord, we know that it could be much worse. And even the things that we've seen, Lord, you've brought them about for our good. And even whatever happens in the future, Lord, you'll be with us then, you'll provide for us, and you'll work it out for our good. But Lord, in the meantime, would you help that we would look at our own lives and clean house? Holy Spirit of God, this house belongs to you. And so would you please take the light of your word and shine in every dark corner and reveal to us any place where there's sin, where we're displeasing our Heavenly Father. Would you please show us that? Use this invitation now for Jesus' sake, and in His name I pray. Amen.